Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of 1 Corinthians with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave picks up in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12, where we build on last week's message about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In today's study, we see that we need to keep unity at all costs, even when our churches can differ in their understanding and practice of the gifts of the Spirit. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12.
One member can say to another member, "Well, this is no fair. I'm down here stuffed in your nasty boot. I'm down here stuffed in your nasty sock." You know, this is the problem here, he's saying. He's saying that this is what's going on. There are those who are thinking this way, and it ought not to be. He goes on to say, if the foot shall say, "I am not the hand, I'm not of the body," is it really not of the body? And if the ear in verse 16 shall say, "Because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body," is it really not of the body? If the whole body, for goodness sakes, you know, were an eye, I'm thinking of the Minions, just their little voices and them walking around, or is it Monsters, Inc.? I don't know which one right now, but just, you know, this big little figure there with just an eye, just a big old eyeball. You know how ridiculous it would be? It'd be creepy, it'd be freaky. He's saying that if that were the case, if the whole body were an eye, or if the whole body were an ear, or and said that because I'm not the other one, am I really not of the body? Is it truly the case? If the whole body were an eye, where would their hearing be? Verse 17. And if the whole were hearing or an ear, where would the smelling be? But now has God set the members, this is important to grab, but now has God set the members, every one of them, verse 18, in the body. Please, at the very least, make a mental note. I have it underlined in my Bible. It says, as it has pleased him. As it has pleased him. So listen, here's what I have written in my center column. You do what you want with this, but I need to read these things to have them reinforced in my life. Where you are brings pleasure to the Father. Because he's the one who places you as part of his body as he would. He places you in his body, the corporate body of Christ, as he would. So the incarnate body of Christ, the Spirit of God came upon, indwelt and empowered for the earthly ministry of Jesus. We see that through the Gospels. And now he has chosen to work in a similar fashion, not limited to his incarnate body because it's no longer here on earth. He's ascended back to glory. But he is now doing it through his body, the body of Christ, all throughout the world. He has the Spirit within each of us that are believers. Hopefully, the most of us, the Spirit has come upon to empower us and to use us for his glory in the same way that he was being used when he walked this world, when he walked this earth. So he's saying, you know, this is important for us to understand. It's important for us to grab a hold of. God has placed us where it pleases him. God has placed us where it pleases him. It would then help us then to not become discontent with what we're doing. It will help us then to use the silly illustration of the Holy Spirit here, and I don't mean that insultingly toward him, but to use the illustration of a toe or of a foot, it will help us to realize that, like, I gotta stay in my place. I gotta stay where God has designed for me to be. If I try to move up, like imagine if my toe were able to work its way up to my knee. And come summertime, I'm outside preaching to you, and all of a sudden my toe's just like hanging out, wiggling on my kneecap. It would throw all y'all off. You'd say, this dude's a freak. If it was able to work, you know, if it said, that's not enough, because he puts pants on sometimes. And that thing was able to work its way all the way up to my face. Now that there's no mask, now it knows it's free, and it will always be seen. Like the faces. How is it fair that the eyes get to be seen? The nose, and he's using the smelling, the hearing, the ears, the nose. These things always get to be seen. How is this fair? Imagine if the toe worked its way all the way up to my cheek. And here I am preaching, and that big old toe is just, you know, kind of moving around on my face. You laugh because it's crazy. And he's saying that's what happens when you forget God's placed you where it pleases him. And what that should do for you then is this. God, if this is where me being here is what pleases you, putting me here, if this is where I need to be to please you, then I'm pleased. Because quite honestly, I'd rather not be the mouth of this body. If we get to all like throw in what we want to do, then I don't want to do this. I want to sit with a snow hat and a hoodie on in the back and make faces like some of you do. I would not want to be the guy who's up here. James said it right. Let not many among you desire to be the bishop, the teacher, because greater is the condemnation. The heaviness of heralding the word all the time, if we got to throw in our hat what we wanted to do, I wouldn't have signed up to be the mouth. I don't like to be in front of crowds of people I don't know very well. It's not my thing. But if this is what pleases God, then I'm going to do it. If it pleases God that as a local pastor and under-shepherd, unlike celebrity pastors today, are actually in their pulpit week in and week out, then I'm going to be in my pulpit week in and week out. And I wrestle with that for a long time. I say, Lord, how will my voice not become white noise to my congregation if I'm actually there every week? Now, that's not a thought that's old in the church, because that's what pastors always used to do till recent. Now, it's like this, oh my gosh, our pastor's in town. Oh my gosh, our pastor's at church this week. I hear some of these guys, you know, we're going to be live this Sunday as if it's some special treat. The COVID thing made people get really carried away and out of control. Shepherds are meant to be among the sheep. And that's what Jesus has called pastors to be, under shepherds to the flock that he's called them to pastor. So Lord, if this is what pleases you, it's not in my comfort zone. It's not something I particularly want to do. I hear a lot of people, I'm going to go off on tangent as the Holy Spirit leads right now on the subject matters. I talked to some of the guys in the foyer last week, and it gives me an opportunity to bring this up right now. I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, that's your natural gifting. I don't think the gifts of the Spirit are necessarily natural gifts or like characteristics or idiosyncrasies that you're born with. I think that those can become sanctified and God can use those things. But I don't think spiritual gifts and those things that you're born with, which are from God anyways, but those things that you're born with are one and the same. Just to set things straight right now. I think that this is an otherworldly empowerment from God for his work and for his glory. So if it pleases him to take somebody who's an unlikely candidate to put in a place in a role, well, that's up to him. If it's just a natural gifting all of the time, well, then there's a haughtiness that can build up within each of us. So it is often the case that God takes somebody and puts them in a role where they say, God, if you don't go with me, I'm in trouble. It testifies to them, it preaches to them that without God, I'm a mess. There's that dependency. So what pleases God? That's that you need to, don't just look at me, what pleases God for you? I believe that the scripture's teaching tonight that he gives to every man severally as he will. I don't think there's one Christian in the room tonight that can pull their chair away from the feast that we're eating at and say, well, this has nothing to do with me. Yes, it does. I think you at least have one gift. I think you at least have a gift, probably many gifts. And you now have a responsibility to say to the Lord, what is it that you have given to me that I'm called to be steward over? That I have to give an account for at the Bema seat one day? Lord, what is it that you've given to me that is supposed to be bringing you pleasure? In other words, I'm going to put it in the negative again. If you're not using your spiritual gifts, then you are shortcutting God an amount of pleasure that he is due of that comes from your life. And that's not cool. And we are going to stand at the Bema seat. We're not going to stand at the great white throne, but we're going to stand before God and we're going to be rewarded for our faithfulness and our service to what he's called us to. I just want to be a faithful Bible teacher and make sure everybody knows that. We're not going to be judged for our sins, but we're going to stand before him just like the Olympians do when they get their gold, silver, bronze medal, and there's going to be an account that is called to be given. Is it going to be able to be tried by the fire? Is it gold? Is it good? Did you do it unto me? Or is it wood, hay, stubble? Is it going to burn up? Or did you bury your talents and waste them and never use them? So all of you have to reconcile that. I've been wrestling with these things all day. It's your turn. It feels really good to get it off and put it onto you. Because this verse is powerful. He places you where it pleases him. He's gifted you so that you can please him. And if all of us are one member, he says in verse 19, where were the body? But now are they many members, but just one body. And the eye cannot say, verse 21, unto the hand, I don't have a need of you. Nor again can the hand, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, he says in verse 22, much more those members of the body, please notice here, the language is really powerful and helps you to understand the heart of God. It says this here, the members of the body which seem to be more feeble, they are necessary. They might seem to you to be more feeble or less, but they are absolutely necessary. We're interdependent. So there's some lessons that he's given to us here. He's saying to you and I, first of all, not to look at who you are or what God has given to you and regard it as insignificant. That's what he's handled in the beginning here. Don't just be like, all I am is a toe buried in my sock, buried in my shoe. Okay, that's wrong. You're not insignificant. Then the second thing that he is doing here is saying this. Not only should you not say that you are insignificant, but you also should be careful of this thought of I'm good, I'm independent. That's another rebuke. You're not called to be independent. It leads to an arrogance. It makes you look at other people's gifts and scoff at them. It makes you look at other people's gifts and say they're lesser, they're not necessary. You're not independent, you're called to be interdependent. Okay? You can't stand without the stinky foot in the sock, in the boot. So if you're a mouth, if you're a hand, whatever else that you might say that you are as a part of the body of Christ, you can't do what God has called you to that pleases him if it weren't for the other parts of the body. And a lot of times you don't realize how important the part is till it goes bad, till it becomes diseased, till something becomes wrong with it. And then there's that understanding. But these are things the Holy Spirit wants us to consider. So we all come together. We all participate. We're interdependent. We're not independent. Nothing is insignificant. Now listen, we're not a melting pot either. Oh, the church is a melting pot. We're not a melting pot. We're like a stew pot where when we simmer together with all of our diversity, we give a better flavor. You understand? When we simmer together, when we bring all of ourselves together as part of the body of Christ and we simmer like a pot of stew, we give a better flavor. That's what we are. That's what we are. So don't look at it like, oh, this seems to be more feeble or unnecessary or lesser. And he says here in verse 23, those members of the body that we think, not God thinks, but that we think to be less honorable, upon these, he says, when they're less honorable, this is just the obvious, we bestow, as King James. The Greek is we put on. We clothe more abundantly honor. Our uncomely parts, we have more abundant comeliness. That's a very proper way of describing things that shouldn't be seen should be covered up. This isn't the beach. This isn't your backyard, right? We don't go into public like we would be when we're sunbathing, when we're out in the pool. You cover things up that are uncomely. They're not made to be seen. He's saying, right, that's just the practical. That's just the obvious. You clothe those members. He's saying, but sometimes what we do is that's how we think toward each other in the church. Like they're lesser. They need to be clothed. They're uncomely. For our comely parts, verse 24, have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism, verse 25, there should be no divisions in the body of Christ, but that the members should have the same care one for another. So whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, then all the members rejoice with it. Now you're the body of Christ and your members in particular. So he really rides this thing home. He's really helping us understand because he's going to go back into the gifts right now. He's going to go into the fruit of the Spirit in chapter 13. He's going to go back into the gifts of the Spirit in chapter 14, talking about tongues and prophecy and so on and so forth. But before all he does it, he's saying you've got to know the gift giver before you get totally obsessed and consumed by the gifts. You can't be so obsessed with how is God using you, your talents that God's entrusted to you, if you don't even understand the nature of the one who's the gift giver. He's called us to unity. We are to do everything, and that, there's a lot of labor in fighting for unity. There's a lot of humility to maintain unity. There has to be, hey, did I offend you? You seem like you can't even look at me. You seem like when I come around toward the cafe or whatever, you like beeline for the bathroom or down the children's church hall and you don't even have kids. Like what? Like did I do something? There's got to be that, like I'm willing to apologize. I'm willing to own it. Like that's like my biggest thing as a man. We got to own stuff. Like I'm not over here saying we can't ever bark or lose our tempers or something. I'm not saying we should, but I think we're gonna as fallen men. The best of men are men at best. But when it happens, we got to go back and own it and say, hey, I was a total jerk. I was totally arrogant there. I was presumptuous. I shouldn't have jumped down your throat the way that I did. We've got to be that way if we're going to maintain unity. We got to fight for it. And why we have to fight for it is because it pleases God. That's who the gift giver is. He's a unifier. So we're not over here like, well, I come from a Pentecostal background. I'm all about these gifts, and you need to mature. You come from the Baptist church, and man, you thought the King James was that, which is perfect. You are so weak. That's not how it's supposed to be. These things are not things that we are to fight over. Diversity is good. We're allowed to have these differences and these distinctions, but we are not to be okay with division, especially when we can do something about it. So I love that he goes crazy here. People get frustrated with Paul, and it's hard to teach sometimes because he just went down a really long rabbit trail, if you would, before he goes back to the gifts. But I see what he's doing. He's like, y'all can't be so about the gifts if you don't know the gift giver. That's your problem. You don't lack in gifts. You guys got a ton of gifts there, but you're carnal. You're fighting over the unifier. There's this ignorance over the gifts. Let me lay it out for you. But before I do, he's saying, let me remind you, you are the body of Christ. And you are members more in particular. Now, going back to the subject matter of gifts, as we ready ourselves to close the chapter and finish our study tonight, he says, now understanding all of these things, going through the gift giver, he says, let me be very clear to you. God has set some in the church. I'm going to read through the list here, and then we'll come back through. First of all, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And he poses this rhetorical question in verse 29. He says, now let me ask you, are all apostles? The answer is no. Are all prophets? The answer is no. Are all teachers? The answer is no. Are all workers of miracles? Again, no. Do all have the gift of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. God gives as he would to make up in completion his body. Now, this is a powerful point. Let me give it to you. There is not one Christian here tonight or in any other midweek Bible study throughout the country or beyond around the world. There's not one Christian walking the planet in the body of Christ who can in and of themselves fully represent Jesus. Okay? In his fullness, represent him to the world. We all only represent aspects of him to the world. It takes the whole body of Christ at best to come close to rightly representing him and all that he is to the world around us. That's just too good to just move from real quick. The Lord hit me with that because sometimes I feel like, okay, Lord, I think I got a balance right now. And as balanced as I might be, I do not fully reflect him in and of myself. Neither do you. So you know what that does? It causes us to esteem one another. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Do all have these gifts that are just laid out here? No. It takes all of us to put together the body to rightly represent him. Isn't that good? It helps us sort of understand here what it is that God is intending to communicate through Paul in this portion of Scripture. So the third rebuke then is don't esteem your gift as if it's better than the next person's. That's dangerous. He says here, but I want to hit these things because some of them we're going to say goodbye to for a bit. I want to talk through some of these things that have caused confusion in the church before I read you verse 31 and get us ready for next Wednesday's study, one of my favorite portions in all of the Bible next Wednesday is. But it says this here, moving through some of these gifts. He says, first of all, this idea of being an apostle. A lot of confusion on this today. The apostolic ministry, perhaps, that may be or may not be around us. I think it's important to distinguish here the office and the gift. I think it's important to distinguish here the office and the gift. Are there apostles today? My answer to you in simplicity is no, not like then. There are not apostles today like there were then when Paul was on the scene writing these things. Apostolic ministries, giftings, perhaps. And I'll tell you what I mean by that in just a moment. But to be an apostle like Paul was, like Peter was, like James was and John was, and the other, well, there were 12, then Judas fell and then he was replaced. Paul, I believe, is the makeup for that there. But there are 12 apostles in the scripture. And to be one of them, there were criteria that the word of God tells us of. You need to know this. Because there are cults out there that are going to come to you, to your door, and tell you that they're the only legitimate truth of God because of the apostolic ministry that is still in place. How do you stand with that? What do you do? What do you do if I'm not in town one week and we have a guest speaker who doesn't have a handle, they're doing a presentation or something else other than their expertise is not the teaching of God's word. Somebody comes through here and they start to declare that they have the authority of an apostle. What do you do? How does that sit with you? Well, let me give it to you like this. An apostle, says the scripture, has to be one that was with Jesus from the baptism that he had in River Jordan under John to his resurrection. There ain't a one of us that was there then for any of that. So there we all go. And that's just the first point. The second thing that we're going to read of in 2 Corinthians in like 15 years is that the sign of the apostles and the miracles of the apostles, these apostles that I just mentioned to you, they accompanied them for the establishment of the ministry. Crazy signs, crazy miracles. We saw that with Paul's sweatband. We saw that with Peter's shadow, their ability to raise dead to life. God did some really crazy supernatural things with these men in those days. They were a group of men that laid the foundation of the church, a very specific ministry. We were told in Revelation, when I taught it to you months ago, that these apostles' names are written in the foundation stones in the New Jerusalem. That's something that's unique to them. That's something that's set apart for them. What an honor that they have. The 12 tribes, they're in the gates. But the 12 apostles, they're in the layers of stone that make up our eternal abode. Isn't that amazing? And something else that I think is super important to say, and I know for sure it's never to be repeated, is that these men had the authority to write scripture.
That concludes our message for today, here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.